Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Henry Clay, The Essential American, is a scholarly biography of one of the most influential figures in 19th century American politics. Written by David S. Heidler and Gene T. Heidler, it examines Clay as statesman, legislator, and presidential aspirant, rather than as a narrowly partisan hero or villain. The book focuses on Clay's long public career in the early Republic and antebellum periods, showing how his actions shaped debates over tariffs, internal improvements, banking, and national union. It also explains why Clay became known as the Great Compromiser, a politician who repeatedly tried to hold together a growing republic under severe sectional strain. At the same time, the biography pays attention to his personal life, public style, ambitions, and missteps, creating a fuller portrait than older celebratory accounts. The result is both a political history of the United States before the Civil War and a study of how one unusually gifted leader navigated, and sometimes failed to navigate, the Republic's deepest conflicts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Henry Clay as the defining statesman of the antebellum political arena. The biography presents Clay as one of the central actors in American politics between the founding era and the Civil War. Rather than treating him as a secondary figure, the authors place him beside the major national leaders of his time and show how often he influenced events from behind the scenes and in public office. His service as Speaker of the House, Senator, and Secretary of State becomes the framework for understanding how Congress and national politics actually functioned in the early 19th century. The book makes clear that Clay mattered not only because he occupied important offices, but because he understood how to use them. He worked through legislative coalition building, agenda setting, and persuasion at moments when the country was still defining the scope of federal power. This emphasis helps explain why the book is as much a history of the American political system as a personal biography. Secondly, The Great Compromiser and the politics of holding the Union together. A central theme of the book is Clay's reputation as the Great Compromiser and what that role meant in practice. The Heidlers show that compromise was not presented as weakness, but as a deliberate strategy for preserving the Union in an era of rising sectional conflict. Clay's involvement in the Missouri Compromise of 1820 is especially important because it illustrates his belief that political postponement could push Union and keep national institutions functioning. The biography connects this approach to his broader American system, which linked tariffs, a national bank, and internal improvements to the health of the Republic. Clay's politics were therefore not random deal-making. They reflected a coherent vision of national development. At the same time, the book does not idealize compromise. It shows that every settlement created new resentment and often intensified the very tensions Clay hoped to reduce. That tension between necessity and consequence gives the book much of its historical force. Thirdly, the 1824 presidential election and the long shadow of political failure. The book gives significant attention to Clay's failed presidential ambitions, especially the contested election of 1824. That episode is treated not as a minor embarrassment, but as a turning point that shaped Clay's public reputation for the rest of his life. By helping John Quincy Adams defeat Andrew Jackson in the House of Representatives, and then accepting the post of Secretary of State, Clay became associated with the corrupt bargain charge. Whether or not the accusation fully captures the reality of the event, the biography uses this controversy to show how easily principle, ambition, and political calculation could blur in the early Republic. It also demonstrates Clay's recurring problem he was often more effective in Congress than in mass politics, where emotional appeal and popular symbolism mattered more. This section of the book matters because it reveals Clay's weaknesses as clearly as his strengths, especially his political naivety and occasional tone deafness. Those flaws help explain why such a powerful man never reached the presidency. Fourthly, personal character, marriage, and the human side of a public life. The Heidlers do not restrict themselves to legislative history. They also humanize Clay through attention to his temperament, habits, and marriage to Lucretia Hart. This personal dimension matters because Clay was often portrayed in public debate as a schemer or self-interested operator, and the book works against that simplification. By showing his long marriage and large family, the authors suggest a steadier domestic life than the rumors of pure ambition implied. The biography also highlights Clay's wit, charm, energy, and performative skill, qualities that made him a memorable public figure and helped explain his popularity. He comes across as a horse trader, joke teller, and arm twister, but also as a man capable of loyalty and devotion. This balance is important because it resists both hagiography and dismissal. The result is a portrait of a politician whose character cannot be reduced to ideology alone. Since his public achievements were tied to personality, social intelligence, and the ability to command attention in a crowded political world. Lastly, a full biography that interprets Clay through the nation's road to civil conflict. One of the book's most valuable features is the way it uses Clay's life to interpret the broader trajectory of American history. The biography spans the era from the early Republic to the eve of the Civil War, so Clay becomes a lens for seeing how the nation moved from post-revolutionary consolidation toward sectional crisis. His conflicts with Andrew Jackson and John C. Calhoun, his defense of the Bank of the United States, and his tariff politics all reveal the struggle to define what kind of nation the United States would become. The book also situates Clay among other major figures such as Jefferson, Madison, Lincoln, and Jackson, making his career part of a larger political conversation rather than an isolated life story. This broad historical framing is what makes the biography especially useful to readers who want both narrative and interpretation. It explains why Clay was influential even when he lost, and why his career remains essential for understanding the limits of compromise in a divided republic. In conclusion, this book should be read by students of American history, especially those interested in the early republic, the antebellum era, congressional politics, and the origins of sectional conflict. It is also valuable for general readers who want a serious biography that combines political history with character study. The main intellectual benefit is that it recovers Henry Clay as a consequential national leader whose influence extended far beyond his failed presidential bids. Readers gain a clearer understanding of the American system, the Missouri Compromise, the corrupt bargain controversy, and the larger problem of preserving union in a polarized political order. What distinguishes this biography from many others in the genre is its combination of scholarly range and readable narrative, along with its refusal to flatten Clay into either a saint of compromise or a mere opportunist. The Heidlers present him as flawed, ambitious, highly effective, and often ahead of his time, which makes the book especially useful for understanding how leadership works under conditions of political instability. It is a strong choice for anyone seeking a serious, historically grounded portrait of a major but still underappreciated American statesman. If you would like to support David S. Heidler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.